Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord our God is always moving, always in motion, always working. Because of his love is why he does it. And we are designed to have the same motivation. All of our motivation should come from the love of God, the kind of love that Jesus shed abroad towards us. See, out of love, everything else forms wisdom and purity. And the Lord taught me that holiness, and wisdom is how he designed everything. And they balance out each other. The Lord will do nothing without love, nothing without wisdom, and nothing without holiness. Whatever God chooses to do, all three will be honored. And he taught me that. That's why I say, how could I know something like that unless the Lord revealed it to me? And that kind of intelligence is not from me. That's from Jesus. That's from the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. And I thank God. I thank the Lord that he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And I thank the Holy Spirit for willingly come to guide us into all truth. When you're washed in the blood and you have the love of God in you, you begin to have the desires of God. And you have to do something with them. You have to excel. The blood made it possible for us to be born again, to be made over legally. Our faith, we received the word, we believed the word, and then we acted on the word. And see, when you act on what you believe or trust, believing or trust becomes faith. And, you know, believing is taking God at face value. And trust is because of the past, because of past dealings with the Lord. That's why we trust him. And faith is the result of acting on either trusting God, and even more better than that, believing God, taking him at face value without the past. So when we have faith in him, we're able to do more than we normally could. But when we receive his love, we have the desire. And when you don't know what to do, or you don't know where things fit, you can pray and ask the Lord to show you. Then the Holy Spirit, he'll use what you have to guide you. And sometimes it can come from how God made you. He gave us something to go on at birth. Some people they have talents and they have abilities that will amaze others. Because it's a gift. It's the goodness of God. For me, mechanic work came easy for me because I like to know how things work and I can put things together in my mind. It's a gift. And so when I got saved, you know, I respond to the Lord like a mechanic would. Why does this happen? What is this? What's that over there? I want to know. Because if you know how things work, you know how to deal with it. If you know how to deal with it, you know how to, your chances of keeping things running is much higher. And I'm a forever student because every time the Lord teaches me something, it gives me more to go on, and it helps me to ask better questions. So that I can get better answers, so that I can live a better life and help others do the same. But in this world, the world don't operate that way. However you do things, the world doesn't do what God does. It does the opposite, always. It always does the opposite. Even though the people in the world desire good things, but their methods is opposition. It's not what God would do. Sometimes there are things that may coincide if they had good guidance. You know, For instance, people that see a good marriage, they want a good marriage, and they watch and they learn what people do that have a good marriage. And so that becomes acceptable. Even though they're not connected to God, they'll do what it takes to keep or maintain a good marriage. And it'll last until something throws them off track. But see, when people lose something in the world, it's very difficult for them to regain it. That's why we have to help people come to the knowledge of God. Now, another problem that exists is when people think that others think like they do, and they really don't. People are groomed to think, from Satan's standpoint, the same. They're groomed to think defeat, darkness, fear, unbelief, resistance against God. All these things come from the fallen nature, and Satan seeks to exploit it. Even though people with a fallen nature don't set out to do evil per se, they don't. That's not their goal. They're just trying to live and have a good time. But what they excuse themselves to do and believe can be detrimental to their life. And it is detrimental to their life until they get reconnected to God. And even that's debatable among even Christians, because sometimes people get saved, but they still lack a relationship, because they're connected to the Lord through the blood. But they're not actively connected, because they don't ask the Lord to guide them throughout. They don't trust the Lord like that. They trust what they believe more. But see, the more you learn, the easier it is to see truth and adopt the ways of God and incorporate it into your life. And when the Holy Spirit has to work with something that we have. So I mentioned earlier that sometimes there are things that God put in us, and the Holy Spirit can work with that. Whatever part of God's word that we received, He can work with it the way we received it. If you read the scriptures and know it verbatim, He can work with that. If you heard the scripture and you can't quote it, but you receive something from it, the Holy Spirit will work with that. Sometimes He gives me thoughts based on the scripture that I heard, and I have to go back and find that scripture to get the full meaning. But He'll work with a part that I did receive, that is true. And He only works with what we would call rightly divided word, or the pure meaning of the word. He don't work with dark concepts of the word. He don't work with deception. And He definitely don't work with rebellion. He'll expose it, but He don't work with it. It never comes up in my spirit something that's a twist of the word. It's always the pure meaning that I did receive. I notice it. And so sometimes I have to go back for clarity's sake. The Holy Spirit's trying to clue me in. That's why sometimes I'll teach something. I'll learn something from the scripture. The Holy Spirit brings it up and I may run with it, but that doesn't mean I'm clear on that scripture. Sometimes I have to pause and go back and look at the scripture. But you never know when the Holy Spirit needs that information, and He'll do it when He needs it. But that's why it's always important to study the word for yourself. Now, if the Holy Spirit never starts a contradiction, so whatever He says is right, and it can be proven right, even by other scriptures. But He'll use what you have. So I like to do things. Sometimes the Lord may need me to do something, and I don't know what it's going to need. I want to be ready when He's ready. When it's time for me to be talking in His name, I want to be ready. So I take time and I fill my heart with the Word of God. And the Lord prescribed to me books to study. You know, like after I do this broadcast, when I begin to work, I'm gonna play my Bible app on my phone, and I'm gonna listen to whatever book He gives me. And sometimes, as I'm listening, He'll start guiding me with the scriptures that I'm hearing. And sometimes He just let me hear it, and He'll cause me to have a mental note of something to go on. Then He'll let me hear the word and receive it. Then He'll talk to me about it, or he's filling my heart with something that I'm gonna need, and that's how I do it. And also, things that I'm curious about, I always ask the Lord, and I don't care how He answers. I used to be looking for Him to answer a specific way, or I thought He'd just tell me. Sometimes He does. Sometimes He helps me to see other things that I'll need to come to a full understanding of what He's trying to get over to me. You know, He may use nature. He may show me something. I may see something, or an animal do something, and the Lord will alert me to it, and then He'll teach me whatever He was going to teach me. Or He'll call somebody to say something that's in line with what I'm asking about. And when these things happen for me, I take time and receive it and embrace it. There's two things you got to do when you receive the word. You got to receive it and embrace it. And you got to hold on to it. You can't let a truth get by you because you're going to need it. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, some people are more interested in how to solve their problems and navigate their life and raise their small children or help their older children. And they want to solve the marriage problems they may have, or just make life even better than it is. And they're not very concerned about eschatology or end times. And I understand that. But we the things that we learn that we may not be interested in, I'm using end time and eschatology for an example, because there are times I feel this way. I need to be doing something with the time I have, because that train wreck is coming. And it's a train wreck because the judgment hammer of God is going to fall against the wicked. And my thoughts is, how can I help people avoid that train wreck? How can I help people that's going to be caught up in it get out of it? And I got loved ones that they believe whatever they want to believe. And, you know, I got cousins that's of other religions even. And people believe what they want to believe. Some people, you know, they take the things of God too lightly, and they're going to get caught up in that train wreck. So, but this is the thing. This is the point I'm trying to make. Even things that's not close up and personal right now, it's very important that you understand it, because it can help you be wiser with the time you have. It can help you point people in the right direction. What may not interest you will interest people that you're trying to reach. And if you become accurate, and if you can speak about it in an intelligent way, and if you allow the Lord to teach you about it, it can be an asset, even things that you're not interested in. Now, with me, I'm interested in eschatology because I like to know how things work so I can make better judgment calls. But there are things in the Old Testament about the law. And I, you know, a lot of modern preachers, you know, we modern preachers like to excuse the law. Well, we still have to keep the moral law, but the thing is, we have the love of God, and that's how you fulfill the moral law. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you fulfill all the ceremonial laws, all of them, the Sabbath day, the feast days. You did it biblically, even circumcision. You may not be circumcised in the flesh, but you got a circumcised heart. You fulfilled all of it. The circumcision in the flesh was a fleshly example of the circumcision in the heart, a forever change. So the things that may not interest you can be an asset. The dialogues of Job, for instance, it can give you insight in every category. If you're a businessman, it can help you in business. You'll know not to do fraud, because people that do fraud, they're going to have a loss. You know, Job said that, or one of his friends said, people, the wicked, even though they're in the fullness of their sufficiency, they are being straits. And I've seen that with my own eyes. It would take me all week to make $200 to $400. But I've seen drug dealers make $1,000 in a few hours, and they'd show you the money that they came up with and brag about it. But then, you know, within a month or so, you'll see you'll see the car they had, and you don't see them no more. The car was on a car haul being hauled off to an auction. They had to pay bail money to get out of jail or pay a lawyer, and now they back to nothing. And riding around on a little girl's bicycle. I seen all this. Riding around on a little girl's bicycle. His car was gone. I saw it on the car hauler being somebody repossessed it and took it to the auction or wherever. And you don't see him for a while. Then when he pops up again, he's riding a little girl bicycle with nothing in his pocket. And he's preparing to go to jail. Or he got to walk the straight line now because he got paroled or something. You know, they go through all kind of misery. And they have no peace. But see, if you read the book of Job, you can say, well, I won't do that. And then you avoid all the problems that go along with the evil that you may have done if you didn't read the dialogues of Job. And sometimes even Christians don't seem to realize that the laws of sowing and reaping, they always work. And, you know, Jeremiah 17:11 said, any man that get rich and not by right, he's going to leave it in the middle of his days, and at his end will be a fool. So all the money that you get wrong, you know, when people coerce people to give, and they get money the wrong way. They try to, they use fear tactics, and all that money is going to leave their life. You can't do wrong and then come out and nothing happens. Something's going to happen. If you go outside of the kingdom of God to do something, it's going to cause you failure. So every part of the word is what we need to be hearing. Now, there are books that I'm very interested in. There are things that I'm interested in. There are things that when God gives me certain books, I get excited, more excited than others. But guess what? God will give us what we need. And I yield to him every time. Now, if there's a scripture on my heart, I might read it. I may take time and listen to it. Then I go right back to what God is doing. I like to research. And whenever I have study time, you know, at night before I go to sleep, I ask the Lord, what scripture will you give? And he'll give me a scripture that, you know, what I'm asking him, what's on your heart, my Lord? What's on your heart? What do you want to talk about? And if he give me a scripture, I can read and I can better receive what he desires to share with me. Now, you have to put in if any relationship you have, you have to take time out and talk. There is no other way to do it. You have to take time and give your undivided attention and just listen and talk. And when that's not in place, a lot of things are not going to be in place. And always remember, God is a person. He's not just someone who's far away, busy. God, I don't know how he does it. But he's spirit and he's life. I don't know how he do the things he do. But I'm just glad that he can listen to me and dialogue with me along with anybody else that want to talk at the same time. I don't know how he does it, but I have to deal with the fact that he can do it and he wants to. So everybody need to be talking to the Father. We have a God who can give us his attention and dialogue with us intelligently by the Holy Spirit. I don't know how he does it. And if you're going to believe God, don't be concerned. I learned it's better not to be concerned with God's methods and how he does things. You can ask him after he finished. Because I have gotten out of faith trying to figure out how he's going to do it. Then when it don't happen the way I thought it would, I get discouraged and I back off my faith. Not by choice. It's just something that happens. So I said, well, stop being concerned about how you're going to get here, how he's going to do it. Stop trying to process what he's doing. Just know that he's got this. And then go on to something else. Change the channel on that. Be in faith about it, but change the channel and do something else. In other words, when you seeking the Lord, don't be concerned about how he does what he does, but he's a person. And the point is, treat him like one. Talk to him and give him your undivided attention. And even the things that you may not be interested in or may even bore you, if the Holy Spirit bring it up, treat it as important and give it your full attention, because sometimes there's a prize in it for you. There's a blessing. There's a blessing in it. And sometimes the things he teaches you is not just for you, it's for the people that you love. And they're interested in things that you're not. And you have to share God with people. And you have to be prepared so that you can be the blessing that you want to be. You know, I favor different topics more than others, but when I'm ministering to people, I do what God gives me. And it works. And I do it the way God gives me. And it works. You know, we want people to like us, and we want things to go smooth. I got in the pulpit one day to read a word that God had written. And that's all I was supposed to do. Read the 25 causes of poverty. And the pastor liked it, and he wanted me to read it. But when I read it, it came out as a rebuke. I didn't see that coming. In the middle of it, I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? They're going to be mad. And it came out as a rebuke. But I flowed with the Lord just like he wanted me to. Even though they could probably tell I was surprised, it came out like a rebuke. I didn't intend for it to come out like a rebuke, but the Holy Spirit did. So I went and sat down, and I was on the pulpit with the pastor. And then the guest speaker came out, and he was a pastor too, but he was from another church. And he was in the National Guard, and he had to preach in his fatigues. He had a robe, but he took the robe off because it was hot, and he was in his army fatigues. So he had his fatigues on, and he preached a rebuke. But this is the thing. He wasn't there when I was reading that word. He walked in as I was finishing up, he was coming in. He didn't know what I said. He didn't have time to know what I was talking about. And he rebuked the church. And I'm like, Lord, this is you. So you have to be adjustable. You know, I didn't think no way that could turn into a rebuke, because I thought it was just going to be a delightful, you know, sermonette kind of, you know, reading of the living letter I had. You know, we're going to all have a good time in the Lord. No, it was a rebuke. So when God wants to do something, you just have to know how to turn your emotions off and do what's appropriate. If we follow God, we will always be appropriate, because we're connected to it, to the head. There's no way to bear the fruit that you desire to bear without being connected to the head. If you're not taking orders from Jesus, it's not going to work right. But you got to do it his way, and you got to do it on purpose. It's not a wrestling match. You're going to have to do this on purpose, with purpose. You got to trust God on some things. Now, as we do these things, we learn. When God do something, I talk to him about it. I like to talk to him about it, because it helps me to understand how he thinks and processes. I can cooperate with him. He's a person. And he likes to talk, and he likes to be understood. Just when you talk to people, you want them to understand you. Sometimes people run with a thought. They may not understand what you're trying to get over, and they go by whatever it is they think in their mind, and it's not what you were trying to say. Sometimes people stop talking to you because they think you think a certain way or whatever, and they never got a misunderstanding cleared up. Well, with God, we have to hear him out. That's why I like to hear him out. Don't just run with a teaching. Don't just run with a thought. Hear him out, because he has so much more to share. And the everyday decisions that you have to make can be better if you hear him out. I love the way he always introduced me to new knowledge too. I love it when I get introduced to something I never knew before. And he'll say things in a way that you'll know it's him, not you. Because the word of God is a two-edged sword. It can divide the soul and the spirit. What's really of God and what's just of the mind. You know, sometimes when he tell me things, I wonder, was that just my desire talking? Because, you know, I want to say something about that. You have a voice. Your spirit man has a voice. Your mind has a voice. And your flesh, your brain has a voice. They have desires. The Holy Spirit has a voice. Satan has a voice. So from within, when you hear the Lord talking, you hear him in the heart. And I don't know another way to do this, but fill your heart with the word of God and you can always detect the Lord. Now, when the Lord says something and I want an answer to, he answered me in a way that I know is him. And I'll tell you something that happened years ago. I used to ask the Lord about space, his creation, other planets, things like that. And I saw a consistency. God chose 12 patriarchs. He chose 12 apostles, 12 tribes. So, but we had, back then, we only knew about 9 planets in the solar system. I said, Lord, I generated this question from seeing 12, you know, continually. I said, how many planets? And then he spoke and said, 12. Now, was that me or him? I said, Lord, tell me why I understand. He said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's how he answered me. He counted all the way to 12, and I knew it was him. So, now I got information the scientists don't have, or seem to have, or don't reveal. And I said, where are the other planets at? You got 3 others out there that, you know, people don't seem to know nothing about. And my daughter had a book about the solar system. And I saw the sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars. Then I saw an asteroid belt between Uranus, you know, and Mars. I'm looking at it. And I read the description about it. It said the biggest piece of that asteroid belt is about the size of a house. And it dawned on me that used to be a planet. The 5th planet, come to find out, that was Rahab. It was broken in pieces. And I surmise that that's probably where Satan was standing when he made his 5 rogue statements and God judged him. You know, that planet was destroyed. So we got 10 now, all right? Then in the 90s, I was working at Jim Burke Nissan. They said they found a 10th planet beyond Pluto. I said, okay, it's adding up. We got one more to go. And now they talk about Nibiru, which is an elliptical orbit, you know, way out there. I don't know I know for a fact the Holy Spirit told me it was 12. It was 12 in the original creation. And one was busted up. I believe that. And I used to wonder, what are they talking about? Rahab is busted and broken in pieces. Sometimes the Jewish people knew things that we don't know. And you have to understand, it's in the scriptures. This is not just a fly-by-night doctrine. This really happened, you know. And if you don't, if you wonder about something enough, take it to the Lord yourself and see what He has to say about it. But I know within it was 12 planets originally, before the corruption of Satan. And you know, God knows how to do things. Everything is just you have to. If it was a war, some things are not in order anymore. But originally it was in order, and God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. I'm very interested in how things happen and why. Because I don't want to recreate the past that was bad. I want a better future. So you have to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not, and He longs to have that kind of relationship. He wants to answer all your questions, and He loves talking to us. You know, He loves talking. I talked to my daughter last night for a long time, and I enjoyed every moment of it. God loves to talk to us, and she enjoyed talking to me, my daughter. So, when you take time and learn from the Lord and encourage others to do the same thing, it helps. It helps. You have to be patient with people, especially if they trust you, and take time out. And you know, relationships form from communication. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He will continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.